Herzlich willkommen zum Zahngesundheitssymposium. I have today, I have a very special guest here, Nadine Artemis. Nadine, you are known for, internationally known for so many years in the natural, holistic dental health field. And I was just talking, I read your books long time ago. I mean, now is the print version, but before was the other, the digital version. And your work and what you're doing just takes everything to a completely new level. So I mean, there are things where reading it, just I will drop a few of those things today and ask you about this. It's really amazing. So I'm very blessed to have you here. Thanks. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Perfect. So you have a completely like different point of view, what is called causing tooth decay. Like for the children and until a certain age, tooth decay is the major issue. And mm-hmm. like what dentists keep telling us, it's all about the sugar you eat. Mm-hmm. You better brush and take this fancy toothpaste. And when people develop tooth decay, this is almost like they bash people because you didn't have a proper oral hygiene and you didn't brush well. So what's your take on this?
Well, I'll say it's my take, but it's my take through researching other dentists. You know what I mean? I just kind of like, so it's really their work. I just was the modern filter to put it through. And so really through looking at the work of Dr. Hal Huggins, Dr. Ralph Steinman, Dr. Weston Price, and Dr. Melvin Page, mm-hmm. we kind of come up with a good theory. And even when Dr. Huggins learned this, Dr. Hal Huggins, when he learned this from Dr. Ralph Steinman, in that moment, he talked about how his whole concept of dentistry changed. And actually, it was really from following this one page in a book, well, even one paragraph. And Dr. Hal Huggins, he's a dentist, and he wrote dental books, but he wrote another book called Why Raise Ugly Kids.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, I just got all of his books, and it was like a vintage one. I had to, you know, it was used secondhand. And there was one chapter on the teeth, and he talked about meeting Dr. Ralph Steinman. And in that moment, so what he learned was that it's like, where do we start? The theory that the acidogenic theory of decay, which was kind of formalized in the 1940s, when apparently literally at that time, they were like, is it systemic or is it acidogenic? And they had there was literally a fork in the road, and they chose at that time that the official theory was on the acidogenic theory, which is all about, you know, soda pop and sugar on the teeth. Not that that's, you know, something we want in our diets, but it isn't the root cause of decay. So what we now understand is that the teeth are connected to the rest of the body, of course. And when we have a healthy system and everything's functioning normally, nutrients are delivered to the tooth. So what happens is we chew, and then the chewing activates the parotid glands here, which are like, you know, behind that area. They just from chewing food that gets activates the hypothalamus, because everything goes back to the hypothalamus, and then that puts this whole system into motion, where then we're digesting the food, and then the nutrients come back up to the tooth area. We all know we have tooth roots, so the tooth is like a tree with roots, and the roots are pulling up nutrients from the soil into the tooth, into the tree, so to speak. It's like sap. And then when it goes into the pulp chamber, then what's supposed to happen is the nutrients turn from a blood to a clear lymphatic liquid. And this is all happening on a microscopic level. And then through the odontoblast, this fluid now, this dentineal fluid, is getting pumped up and out onto the surface of the teeth. So on the surface of our teeth, we have this microscopic sweat comes out of the teeth, and then that coalesces with the saliva to, you know, help areas of repair and just to keep the mouth in balance. That's what happens in a healthy mouth. when we are stressed out, you know, hormonal times like pregnancy or teenageness, or we're eating, or we are eating sugar or really poor diets with no minerals in them, like classic junk food, what happens is that system stagnates, which is called the dentineal transport fluid or dentineal lymphatic system. It stagnates. And then if things get worse, then it actually reverses. So then what happens is that our teeth actually, rather than pulling up like trees, nutrients up, the tooth becomes like a straw. And then we suck into the tooth bacteria and fungus and microbes into the tooth. So then the tooth comes like a straw. And then that is the genesis of decay. So the sugar affects the teeth, but only in the sense that it's affecting the blood sugar levels in the body, which are then turning into other chemical reactions with hormones that are making that system not work. So we want to have a healthy system where then we're pulling nutrients into the tooth rather than the reverse. And that's been, it's not mainstream dental knowledge, but it has been proven through the work of Dr. Ralph Stein and through hundreds, maybe even thousands of tests where he followed like, you know, x-ray dye and saw the channels and all that kind of stuff. And then he actually had done hundreds of tests, but he was wondering what activates that system. He's like, I get the whole system, but what's making it act? And so then in the latter part of his research, he hooked up with an endocrinologist, which is the study of the hormone system. And then together they found that it is, you know, the parotid glands that are activating the hypothalamus. And then that's the mess, which, you know, all communications in the body are signaled through the hypothalamus, generally speaking. So it makes a lot of sense. And so it was when Hal Huggins learned that day, you know, a whole bunch of stuff made sense to him, but then it did kind of wash away all of his dental knowledge. And so it's important for us to know that, because we've got to know how the system works to have a strong system or to prevent things.
So this is so, I mean, to listen to this, I mean, I've read this before and all that. Just for many listeners, this is like, how on earth can the teeth pull in bacteria, and where does it go? Does it stop in the chamber? Does it go to the roots? Does it enter the body?
Well, then it just depends. So did you have a beginning of a cavity, or are we talking, right? Or is there decay down to the pulp chamber? And then that's when a dentist may recommend having a root canal, right? For example. So, yeah, it's important to know. So we got to keep the system really, as we learn now, when really we're looking at the body holistically in any situation, it always comes back to like, you know, is it the skin rash that we're looking at, or what's the system behind it that's creating the rash? And I feel like we finally got to that chapter with teeth, because, you know, we didn't know before, even though, I mean, obviously in the past 100 years, people have thought it was systematic, or like they think it's got to be hooked up to the stomach and that kind of thing, you know. So it's important for us to know, but it also gives us hope, and it also shows us that, you know, the body can rejuvenate. Wherever your mouth is at right now, it can change. You know, your gum pockets can come back down, you can alkalinize your saliva, you can make your enamel stronger, you know, so we can improve the quality of our mouth no matter what, because it is alive and it is connected to the rest of the body, and the teeth are alive, which is a good thing.
So you're talking about the importance of the saliva, because the teeth actually mineralize or remineralize through the saliva. So obviously quality here is of major importance.
Yes. And
so just adding the food portion here.
Yes. Yeah. So then through, it was the work of like Dr. Melvin Page, for example, he noticed that when blood serum levels and phosphorus go down, mm-hmm. cavities rise up. Or Dr. Weston Price saw that what we now know is vitamin K2 mm-hmm. in his studies, he saw that there is this, you know, the vitamin that we need. So much so, and because he went around the world and studied all kinds of cultures and diets. He was kind of like a Indiana Jones in the 1930s, mm-hmm. traveling to remote places with his wife. And actually, at the time, he was the president of the American Dental Association.
Oh.
So he went, you know, whether it was the Pacific Islands or the Scottish Hebrides or like Inuit peoples, you know, that are living in the Antarctica or, you know, all over the place. And what he saw was that, yeah, as soon as there was the introduction of modern food, we'll call it like the whites, you know, white bread, white sugar and all that, that the decay would happen. And even in the Scottish Hebrides, there was like a brother that lived in the harbor, like a twins. And one brother lived in town where there was the harbor and the ships and pastry shops. And one lived more traditionally in you know, with the peat roofs and everything. And just the decay in the two teeth. It was just amazing. Anyway, what he saw though, is that we do need these essential fats. And he also saw that we needed vitamin D. And there was also some other doctors that I cite in the book when they studied vitamin D. And so when D3 and K2 come back into the diet, studies show that the cavity, the decay stabilizes and then can reverse. So that's another thing to know, is that about our teeth being alive. Because certainly when I was growing up, it was like cavity was a cavity was a cavity. It was like, there, that's it, right? You just got to fill it and forget about it. But that didn't speak to like, how are we going to really prevent future ones, or what caused it in the first place, or that the teeth can literally repair. When the tooth, if it had a pretty severe cavity, you can stabilize it so it has no more decay. But the area of the tooth will be a bit different. Sometimes it's still a bit brown, but the decay is no longer there. And often that part of the tooth actually becomes a bit stronger than it was before.
This is really interesting. So like many dentists, they have the feeling, so whenever there's something what doesn't look perfectly pearly white, just drill it away.
Yeah. So yeah, when we do that, then we're taking away good teeth, you know, and often, especially if you're doing something like a crown, then you're drilling away so much good tooth to just put that on top. And again, we're not dealing with the underlying cause. Or if there are jawline cavities, you know, we got to work on the gums. We've got to bring the gums back down, get the gum pockets healthy. But so many of our modern practices, including just brushing, you know, are just throwing that off. So if we're brushing even just too hard, or just up and down and kind of crazy, that's going to just wear away the gums. Mm-hmm. The gum line where the teeth and the gum meet is so important. And it's so important to have that healthy. So even with just brushing, your toothbrush 6 months from now should look like you just bought it. Like with the bristles, they shouldn't be like, you know, and everybody, even if you're, you know, a 6'4" fireman, you still need a soft bristled brush, you know, so everybody should use soft, and you want to brush from the gum. You want to go up and like up onto that gum and then down, and then the bottom, it's gum up, and you want to be brushing the gums as well, because it's like a massage, but you're getting as far down as you can and then up. And then top is down, and you can do it fast, but you're lifting off. You're not doing up and down. You're doing like this.
But you want a super soft toothbrush.
Super soft toothbrush. Okay. And then, so that's soft. And then what I recommend is there's first a manual brush and you're doing that. And then you use an electronic brush and still soft headed. And then I like the round headed ones, and there's Sonic. There's all kinds, but you're just, it's good if it's a different shape than your manual brush. And then you're thinking about more like polishing the teeth at that point. Don't worry about the gums, you know, so you're just really polishing the teeth, kind of like buffing a floor or like a car. So you're kind of just polishing, and then that will help get rid of more plaque and that kind of thing. But I do recommend, I have 8 steps to help everybody, you know, maintain their mouth. It's things you can do every day, but it also really helps to turn around the current state of your mouth, or it can help you get ready for a dental appointment. If you do it for 2 or 3 months in advance, usually people are getting better, shorter, and less expensive appointments. Sorry about that.
Oh, perfect. It's okay. Yeah. So you're writing about that, for example, inflamed gums are easiest to cure within 24 hours. So this is for everybody. This is just a wish how that can be done.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, it depends on the state of your mouth, but you can improve it with your very next brushing. So if you work with either, so first you want to swish the mouth and clear it. You can work with sea salt or baking soda in water. Mm-hmm. And you just put it, you know, put a bit in and then you're swishing it around, spitting it out. Do that a few times. That's also really good for kids because they don't get every corner of their mouth, you know, and that just helps to, alkalinize the mouth and get rid of debris and plaque. And it also helps to alkalinize the sort of right in between the teeth and those harder to get to areas. So that's the first step, is just swishing and rinsing with a alkalinizing thing like a baking soda or sea salt. And then those two ingredients are really good for dental care. So I make all kinds of serums and dental products and everything, but I always like to give, like, at home right now, what you can do. Or if you don't have access or you just have a small budget, like literally baking soda and sea salt, if you just get off the drugstore chemical stuff and you literally just use baking soda and sea salt for the rest of your life, you will be 1,000 times better off than using, you know, the chemical laden sulfate, triclosan, chalk stuff. So each step can be done with the baking soda or the sea salt. So you do, I don't know if I have them all in the right order, but you're swishing and then you can tongue scrape. Very important. Helps to get rid of, like, I think after you do it for a few months, you'll find you have way less plaque on your tongue. And that's really important. And then there's the gum brushing, gum and teeth with the manual. And then you can use a pinch of baking soda. You can also use at that stage, like, one of the dental serums that I make with essential oils and different botanicals that help to revive the gum tissue. And then you do the electric, which is good. You can do that even dry with a pinch of baking soda, and then you get a really good cleaning. And then you want to floss. And then what's amazing, when you put the dental serum along the floss, then it's like your flossing is magnified, you know, is just upgraded so much. And then you're getting those botanicals up into in between the teeth area, which is also helping that tiny bit of gum that's in between each tooth and tends to bleed. So then there's the flossing, and I recommend people floss twice, because when you go through the second time, you'll see more stuff's coming out. And then another step then at that point, if you have it, is just taking a dental serum and then you're massaging it on the gums. And also at that point, you want to check your gums. So there's the rubber tip tools or little sulca brushes, and then you're just going to go over the gum line of each tooth. And then you often find, especially in the beginning, there's more plaque that you're doing then. Mm-hmm. And then you do a final rinse and you spit out. And then what you can also do after that is do oil pulling, which I like to do once I've cleaned my mouth. Then you can do oil pulling just by, we make oil pulling serums with CoQ10 and different oils, but you can also just use olive oil or coconut oil. And I have an article on that on our website with instructions. And then you're swishing for like 15 minutes, and then you're just spitting that out. And if you do that for about a month, you will feel like it's so good for the gums. It helps whiten the teeth as well. It's a really good thing to do when you're bringing your mouth to a new level of health.
Wow. So in your experience, it is possible that the receding gums are, to a certain extent, coming up?
Yeah, you can. Like if you go to your dentist and then they're like, oh, it's like scissors measurements, they might go, oh my God, it's a 7 or a 9. You got to bring it back up. You can get it back to a 2 or a 3, but you've just got to be very diligent. Do the steps I've talked about. And then also we have a syringe. It's blunt tipped and it's kind of on a crook. Mm-hmm. And then you can do all kinds of things with that. So then you can flush out those gum line. Because that's also, it's raising up sometimes just because of plaque and different things that aren't getting cleared. And acidity is also doing that. And ingredients in normal toothpaste like sodium lauryl sulfate do that. Mercury fillings affect and create receding gums. Things like grinding the teeth can create receding gums. But you're doing this and you're helping to revive the gum tissue. And so you can, and then in that syringe, you can do all kinds of things. You can just simply do, a baking soda water. You could do baking soda water with a bit of a dental serum in there. You could add, a diluted hydrogen peroxide, but do be careful because that can also, it can be a bit astringent on the gum. So I would only do hydrogen peroxide, you know, a couple times a month. And you will, and then you want to then massage the area with one of the dental serums and you will improve your gum pockets considerably.
Wonderful.
Which is very important.
So in your book, you're writing also, but for example, for many people, this is just unthinkable to wake up in the morning with a fresh breath.
Yeah.
This is, yeah. Maybe as a kid.
Yeah, you totally can. And it's about, you know, like when you follow those steps, you will, you know, as you keep doing them, you will wake up with better and better breath. I also find there's a fun trick that I learned from the research of Dr. Paul Keyes, K-E-Y-E-S. And he was a gum surgeon and he wanted to prevent gum surgery. Because he just felt like it's happening too much, that kind of thing. And so he came up with this method of, you know, you clean your mouth first and then brush, coat everything with baking soda, get it all in there. You kind of want to leave it on there. So you kind of have a coating and then you do a tiny bit of apple cider vinegar. And then that creates a whole, it's like an explosion in your mouth. It's really fun for kids to do. And then now, apple cider vinegar is acidic, but baking soda is like so alkaline that together it's still alkaline. Do you know what I mean? When they're together. Mm-hmm. And it cleans the teeth so deeply, really helps to rejuvenate the gums. I remember the first time I did it, it was like I did it in the morning and we had a big travel day, like, you know, flying to California and just one of those days where, you know, you really normally start feeling pretty plaquey. And I was just like, by bedtime that night, I was like, oh my God. My teeth are just so smooth. I didn't even feel like I needed to brush.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. You have such a nice quote in your book. You say the mouth is a coral reef. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yes.
Beautiful.
And look how we're treating our coral reefs right now. So we need to take care of our teeth. And that's why we need our saliva to be alkaline, because our teeth really exist in this sea of alkalinity. And so that's why it's important for our blood serum levels to be good with minerals and stuff, but also to have alkaline saliva. So you, if you're feeling like things are off in your mouth, you know, get some litmus paper. And then just test your mouth like twice a day and then you can see how it starts to improve.
Okay. Where do you want the pH to be?
In the alkaline side. So, you know, like
above
a
6-7.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just past neutral, not way alkaline, but just in that zone.
Yeah. You're talking about how important it is that the teeth are well hydrated, like for all these people who are snoring, like the stuffed nose and that kind of stuff. How is that impairing like the dental health? Like so many children, they have like really stuffed nose.
Yes. So especially like it's important for everybody to breathe through their noses. But especially children, because they're forming and growing. And studies show that if your children are mouth breathing, their faces will literally develop differently, the bone structure of it all. And so You want to, so if there's a plugged nose, then you've got to see, is the child, you know, maybe you need to eliminate something from the child's diet. So I like to, you know, recommend elimination diets are very helpful for everybody and all, because you kind of need to figure out, what does my body like and how does it respond well? And there are so many things that our bodies cannot like these days that an elimination diet, and you can Google those words to just see how it's done, but you're basically going to cycle through food things. You're going to eliminate something for about a week, see how your body is happening, and then see if that's an issue. So often a chronic plugged nose, it means you're eating something that's congesting you every day. So that could be dairy, you know, maybe it's soy, maybe it's gluten. For some, it could be oxalates or phytic acid. For some, it could be nightshades. You know, so it's really cool, really good idea for, I think, everybody this day and age to really figure out how your body's thriving. And for kids, it's especially important because you want them to develop and grow to their full potential. And so I'm not sure the solution for children. I mean, you got to figure out how they can mouth breathe, but there is mouth tape now, but I don't think a lot of kids are going to go for that. But I have had friends that have used the mouth tape, like adults, and it literally changes their lives because they're getting more sleep. They're getting so much more oxygen. The body system, they're waking up like feeling like they've slept. So it can be just such a game changer if you are, if you maybe you don't even know you're breathing out of your mouth all night long. But it's so important because yeah, it will dry out. And so in kids, if they're mouth breathing, that will definitely create cavities as well.
Yeah. So it's like when they're 2 or 3 years, the permanent teeth are forming within the jaw.
Yes.
So, and it's like when the teeth are breaking through, they still need to be mineralized with the saliva, right?
Yes. Yeah. 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 I mean, we need our saliva at all times. And obviously things like medication can dry up saliva and all those kinds of things. So if you are on a medication, I mean, assess that, but then really think you've got to counterbalance that somehow, because the longer that you let that go, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what nutrients are like vitally important for the, like for the good formation, like of the teeth?
Yeah. So magnesium, calcium, but don't take calcium pills because they're just BS. You want to get that from food. D3 and K2. Now, what's so important about them and what they do is they usher in the minerals into the bones. Mm-hmm. So if we're taking the minerals like a magnesium or whatever, but we don't have sufficient vitamin K2 and D3, then the magnesium is just going to kind of circulate around in the blood serum, and we need it to go to the bones. So through the beautiful alchemy of life, the D3 and K2, why they're so essential for bone health is because they take those minerals and drive them into the bones. And so those vitamins are key. So are things like iodine, phosphorus. I think those are, so phosphorus, magnesium, and vitamin K2 and D3 are, I mean, they're all important, but those are some real highlights that will help.
So you mentioned that like the phosphorus level has to be kept at a certain level.
Yes.
What, like, is there something in our food or whatever which is reducing the phosphorus level where you say, oh, you better beware of that?
Well, yes, actually, now that you mentioned it, there's some anti-nutrients out there. So things like lectins or gluten, oxalates, those can all interfere with mineral absorption, and so do phytic acids, which are high in beans and grains. And so you really, if you're eating beans and grains, you have to really look at the way that they were prepared in traditional cultures, soaking, fermenting, rinsing, all that kind of stuff really does need to be done, because beyond lactic acid, then there's things like lectins and stuff will literally interfere with nutrient absorption and even make microscopic perforations in our gut, which then creates, you know, called leaky gut, which then interferes with our ability to absorb nutrients, which of course then the teeth will not be getting the nutrients they need.
Can you recommend a good like source of phosphorus?
Right now it's not coming to my head.
Okay, just a balanced diet.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I can't think of a rich food in this moment. I'll have to.
You were talking before how important is the hormonal balance in our body.
Yes.
And about this dentinal fluid, that it's best to avoid stress. So in our modern life, this is really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to say somebody, oh, you better avoid stress because it's not good for your teeth.
Oh, yeah.
So how extreme, how severe is it really? How is like all this stuff impacting our hormonal system? And how is that really having an effect on our teeth?
Yeah, I mean, it could be coming from so many angles. I mean, there's also like just not using a cell phone right here, right? For so many reasons, because that could throw off that system. Then things like fluoride. Fluoride can throw off that whole system because it's also stressing out the body in other ways. And hormonal, like those peak hormonal times, it's like maybe you're fine, but they're just stressful on the body. Do you know what I mean? Like maybe you're having the greatest teenage hood ever, but just that process is a stressor on the body. Like pregnancy, it's a beautiful thing, but there's just different things going on. But I know stress can be so vague in this day and age, and I think even if we're not stressful and really having a happy life, there's still all these things that we can get bombarded with. Literally, you know, the water coming out of our tap could be inhibiting your nutrient absorption, you know. So you have to sort of look around what's in your life, what you have control over. And it's so easy to just brush with baking soda and not with sodium lauryl sulfate. You know, all these things we have control over. And those things, that's really good to switch over because you're going to see improvements.
Question to the to baking soda.
Yeah.
Like some people have the thinking that this is abrasive. Would
you say it's
absolutely safe to brush every day with baking soda?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's called the RDA index, where they measure abrasivity. And it's like, it's milder than the mildest toothpaste. Like when you compare the ratings of that abrasivity, it's I've wrote about it on our site, but it's so fine for every day, like beyond. Like a common toothpaste is like, baking soda is under 10. I can't remember right. I might even be around a 5 or 6. And like a normal toothpaste is like, can be at a 70. So.
Okay. So especially the whitening ones. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's chemicals and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Is it more difficult for people who have like impaired thyroid?
I mean, the thyroid is really, you know, it's a gateway to a lot of the body's systems. So if it's under stress, for sure. I mean, that could be a stressor that's throwing other things off. That's, you know, that's making stressful things. But also, as we clean up what's going on in our mouths, as we stop drinking fluoride water, or stop, you know, even chlorinated water out of the taps, all of that's going to help the thyroid, because the thyroid is like a little sponge for halides. So from the chemical family of fluoride and bromide and chloride, it's like really affecting our thyroids. So that's where iodine is really key for, we need it anyway, but it's really important for our modern health and thyroid health. So iodine we often just think of it as this thing that helped soldiers' wounds in like World War II. It's this red thing, but it's actually a mineral that is essential to the body. It's like magnesium, and we need it. And the World Health Organization estimates that 70% of the world is deficient in iodine. And the thyroid is the organ that needs iodine the most. And for women, the next gland would be the breasts that really need iodine. And so what we also know is iodine's a member of, you know, the periodic table chart. There's the halide family, and iodine's in there. And so it chelates the toxic halides out of our body. So when we don't have enough iodine in our body, our thyroid absorbs more of these toxins. And so the iodine helps to fill up those receptors that literally need iodine, and also to flush out the halides and the toxins we don't need.
It's really interesting that you mentioned that, like in Europe, like, I mean, the health organizations, they making people believe, like, beware of iodine, like it's toxic. And I remember I lived in Japan for 10 years and coming back to Europe, and I wanted to buy seaweed. They only were selling it like you can put it in your bath, but you shouldn't be eating it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because dulse is a great source of iodine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Silliness. No, definitely you can, there's obviously high end. I mean, you can take too much of anything, but we do need it.
What is your take on root canals? Would you say like, don't ever have one, like take it out? Can a tooth regenerate? Where some people are saying might be that it can stabilize itself through nutrition.
Yeah. So what I understand, so many things here. First of all, on a tooth regrowing, they have regrown with stem cells teeth. They have a little like, kind of like a shape, a mold they put in, and then it grows around that. One of my favorite dentists, Dr. Stuart Nunnally, who I'll also, he's done a lot of work on root canals, like on us understanding it, but he says, like, although he said it a few years ago, so we could be at that time, but like it'll be a common thing to be able to have stem cell growth of teeth. So that I feel is in our lifetime for sure. What he also has done, and you can find the study, it's in my book, I think it's in both of them, but he did a study on root canals, and it's a very important study because I feel like any true awesome biological dentist will not do root canals. When they really know it and they know their stuff, they won't be able to do one again. So what he studied, because his theory, his thought was like, all root canals are creating severe necrotic bacteria. And just the setup creates the perfect environment for rot and decay. So the idea of a root canal is to like, oh, it's a, you know, the tooth's gone and let's clean out the insides, take out the pulp chamber, scrape it out. And then at least you have, you know, the tooth in your mouth that's, you know, you can chew and you don't have to put a fake tooth in. So it's like, it's a good idea in theory, but in practice, it's literally, you know, like it can't be clean. So that theory of sterilization does not exist because there's one tooth has 300 meters of microscopic tubules that can never be cleaned ever. It's impossible. And so through the study, they took perfect root canals that were textbook perfect, not causing issues for people, looked perfect on an x-ray, nothing showing up. And they extracted these perfect root canal teeth, and all of them had severe necrotic bacteria, ranging, and then some weird, you know, back, like from a leprosy bacteria to Lyme, syphilis, and everything in between. Just,
wow.
Yeah, not every tooth had that, but like, you know, the range of disease. Because what you've got when you have a root canal teeth is you're sealed off all the oxygen. You're not letting any blood flow to the area or any white cells go to the area. And so you're literally creating just this little pocket of deadly bacteria that gets squirted into the bloodstream with every bite. And so if you have, don't ever get a root canal. There, if it's a back tooth, you can just have the tooth extracted and you don't even need to put a replacement in. Like your tooth will be fine. And then also Dr. Hal Huggins and Dr. Stuart Nunnally also, they say like, you know, your face won't cave in because you don't have that one tooth or whatever. So you can literally just leave it. I had one that I've had to leave, you know, it's just back there. And So you can do that. Now, if it's a front tooth, that's when, you know, some more decisions have to be made. Mm-hmm. And then you could have like a bridge put in, but then you've got to shave off healthy tooth on each side. So it kind of compromises then your other teeth. Or you may need an implant, but never ever get a titanium metal implant ever. Because all of that's attacking your immune system, right? These are foreign objects in our body. So if you do need to get an implant, what they've been using in Europe for about 30 years, so there's a very good track record, and a good track record for the immune system's reception and allowing it's zirconium. So if you do need an implant, zirconium seems to be the current clean choice, really the only choice. And then if you have a root canal, then you kind of have to study it and decide, like, are you feeling your health is compromised? I mean, some people have a root canal and then a few months later they have eye issues or their arms frozen. And for some people it's slower. It's like, you know, 10, 20, or they may have an autoimmune issue. They just can't figure out. And so if you have an issue, I like a deeper issue, like an autoimmune thing, I always really, you know, have people like, I'll always ask them about their dental history. You want to tune into that. You want to figure out what's going on and see if there's areas in the mouth that need to be cleaned up. And if you are having an extraction, it's very important that you go to a dentist that also knows to remove the periodontal ligament, mm-hmm. which is an extra thing. And it's not standard at all to remove that, but so if you need a wisdom tooth out or this tooth's coming out or whatever, you've got to get the periodontal ligament removed. Normally it's kept in. And then Hal Huggins told me that is akin to leaving the placenta in after you give birth. So you've got this thing rotting in your body, then the gum grows over it. And then what you have is a jaw cavitation, which is literally the jaw is rotting. And though that doesn't show up on an x-ray until it's about 80% decayed. And so that can also harbor health issues, just like that root canal may be harboring the necrotic bacteria. If you had wisdom teeth out, you know, at 20 years old and now you're 50, very good chance in the 90s that it's now rotting there. And so you need to go to a dentist that knows that, understands it, and all those things. And then it's not a hard thing to take care of because the tooth's already gone. And I had to have this done because I had wisdom teeth out. And even though I feel good and healthy, there it was. You know, maybe that would have caused an issue for me at 70 or something. And so what happens is they scrape the bone and remove the decay, and that creates blood flow to the area. A blood clot forms, it gets restabilized. Hopefully then your dentist is then injecting the area with ozone and hopefully plasma, your own plasma. And that will help to regenerate the area. And then you can have those cleaned out. So that's an important thing as well. But also it's important for people to know that most wisdom teeth removal, 67% of wisdom teeth removal is completely unnecessary. So it's not a rite of passage at 20 that you want to just be taking out your wisdom teeth. You want to have them if they can. I mean, we were designed to have them all. It's through the work of Dr. Weston Price when he's studying diet and we're not getting enough nutrients, our jaws literally aren't developing as fully as they should. So we should have room for it all. And so you want to do, you know, if it's growing in properly, then you want to keep them. And even if you're saying, oh, I don't think it will, we're going to do it prophylactically, just, you know, really think about that, because once it's gone, it's gone. And you do want these teeth. That could provide an extra tooth for you at 90 when the other one beside it might be decayed or something like that. But hopefully, you know, doing everything that we're talking about, you'll have all your teeth at 90. But there are really common dental procedures that a lot of us kind of have to recover from or restore from or, you know, clean it up so that we can go forward with healthy mouths.
So just coming into my mind that for some people, this is so difficult to understand. Like like have on one side, there's just one tooth which has an issue. Why this tooth and not any other one?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I don't really know the answer to that. I do know though, and I have in my book, a chart of organs. And so they have, there's meridian lines and things flowing through each one. So like a back molar is like going through the meridian line of a breast and those things. So you can look at the tooth chart and then see where that is. And then it can maybe give you a clue. You're like, oh yeah, that's, you know, maybe I do need to like work on my liver toxicity or something, you know, so you can kind of see all that. And then the interesting thing also about root canals is there's a doctor in Europe, Dr. Joseph Isels, and he has been working with cancer patients for decades. He insists that they have their root canals removed before they proceed with the journey. Because if you have a root canal, it doesn't mean you're going to get cancer. But for example, with breast cancer, 99% of women with breast cancer have a root canal on the same side of that. And then what's interesting about thermography, which is a method of seeing heat signatures to see where there's inflammation in the body, which has become a new diagnostic tool for breast health, you can see, and now they're doing full body, or you can do like, you know, from the head to the stomach, and then you can see the heat lines that do heat like full from the mouth to the breast. You can see it all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It's really
so incredible. It doesn't mean again that you will get breast cancer, for example, but people with breast cancer do 99% of the time have a root canal on the same side. Wow. Yeah.
What is your take on regular dental cleaning? How yes. important is it to have it, have the teeth clean? And what I found so interesting in your book, you're writing like who people who want to donate blood are not allowed to do that like within 48 hours after having their teeth cleaned.
Yeah.
And can you tell us why?
Yeah. Isn't that fascinating? Well, because all this stuff gets like, you're kind of waking up the beast and pathogens and microbes are going right into the bloodstream. And so that I find that fascinating. Also, I don't have the stats off the top of my head, but like, older people, you know, like 80s, 90s, they're getting cleaned and then often dying wow. like a couple days later because all the stuff's then released. Maybe, you know, it's going to lungs, heart, that kind of thing, the biofilms. And often just normal people will kind of get sick afterwards and those kind of things. So it can be a number of issues stemming from the water being used or dental instruments. Even the autoclave is not fully sterilizing things as much as we all want them to. So again, with cleaning, you have to go to a good dentist. You really have to go to somebody. You're not battling with them to like, no, I don't want floor, you know, you don't want to, why, you know, why set yourself up for that kind of stress and to be having to advocate to not have chemicals put in your body. So you want to go to a dentist that understands that and then is cleaning with things that make sense. Like you can, if to whiten, a lot of dentists have a really great, it's like they blast it with salt, like kind of like, you know, when you're restoring an old building and they sandblast it. Mm-hmm. Well, you can do that with salt and it gets off like all the kind of like blueberry pigment food stains. And you want to work with a dentist that knows about having real water, and it's not because the water can get, you know, in the little lines, the tubes and stuff, it can stagnate. And then you're kind of just getting like bacterial water, you know, that kind of stuff all the time. So you really want to go to somebody that's going to be your partner in your body's health. And, but if you follow those steps that I've outlined, you really will feel a lot of plaque and tartar, you know, and you're going to be able to take care of your mouth and get your gums healthy. A lot of people find they don't need to get their teeth cleaned as much.
What is your point on amalgam? So if yeah, people amalgam. Have like amalgam yeah. inside, some say, oh, you just don't wake, like, I don't know, do you have the saying, they don't wake up sleeping dogs or like this?
Yeah,
don't,
yeah, yeah.
Don't touch it. Don't, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's that theory, don't touch it. But the thing is, what we know is that the mercury vapors, so silver amalgam fillings, are all with mercury. So some people go, oh no, I have silver fillings. It's like, that's mercury. If it's silver colored, there's mercury in it. And nickel, which is such a toxic metal. So toxic, which is what braces are made out of. So the vapor from that metal, what we know is it releases into the body 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it increases, it's 500 or 1500%. It's enough. Let's call it 500. It increases 500% the release of the vapors when you're drinking hot liquids and chewing. So and that doesn't matter if your mercury filling is a day old or 40 years old.
Yeah.
So they have to come out. And again, you're going to want a dentist that, you know, has all the protocols. They have to have special vent systems, dental dams, things that vacuum air out of your mouth. And you really have to do that with a very skilled biological dentist. But it really, you want to get that out right away, especially if you're going to have babies, both the husband and, I mean, the man and the woman.
Wow.
Because it passes through the placental barrier as well.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It's banned in a lot of countries.
Yeah.
Now I think Switzerland, no, there's no amalgam filling. So it's different all over the world, but it's literally, and it's banned, I think, in the States for pregnant women.
Yeah.
But it's still used on children a lot because apparently it's a bit quicker to lay it down.
So I was recently at a seminar where a dentist said, oh, it's still the best substance to work with. So this is just like incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, really incredible. Yeah. Wow. I'm so impressed. I'm really so impressed. Can I just one more question for you? What is you say about feed your teeth? Feed your teeth good. What is your like best ideas to feed your teeth?
Well, yeah, definitely a whole foods diet. Like, so real food, real water. Do an elimination diet, because what's healthy for some people, you know, like eggs are great when they're you know, organic and free range and all that. But some people, eggs just might not work. Mm-hmm. And if a food isn't working for you, that's going to, like, you know, create gut dysbiosis. Mm-hmm. And when the guts aren't absorbing nutrients, then you aren't. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure you seal and heal the guts and you're not eating things with glyphosates and GMOs, for example. But when I say whole foods, again, that's going to be good for some people and good for not. So for me, like, I'm not going to eat grains, whether they're whole or not. Like, I'm just not going to eat gluten, for example. Potatoes are wonderful, but they're a nightshade. So for some people, that, again, might be causing inflammation in their bodies, and inflammation causes stress, that kind of stuff. But what's really key for everybody is to keep their blood sugar levels low. You know, I think you want to have them around 89, 90, and however you need to achieve that, because the beginning of the blood sugar being too high is the beginning of all inflammation and disease in the body.
Are there actually people who can eat, I mean, people eat lots and lots of carbohydrates, like bread and pasta and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, are there actually people who can really tolerate it well?
Maybe. I don't know. Okay. I feel like, too, people have different tolerances for their body. Like, I feel like, I mean, one reason why I'm here today is because I feel, like, so sensitive. Like, I feel like the princess in the pea with my body. So it's like, for years, decades, if I eat something and then it doesn't feel right then, or in an hour or the next day, then I don't eat it. You know what I mean? So I just, or something I'm putting on my body. So I feel like I've navigated the world with such sensitivity and discernment, yet it's, you know, led me to really be focused on creating pure products and that kind of stuff.
Perfect. Wonderful. Wow. I think it will be just already the portion where you're talking about the dentinal fluid, which is can reverse. That is just like, I mean, for many people, what? Yeah. So interesting. Do you have time for one more question?
Sure. Yeah.
Like, what is your take on braces? I
yes.
mean, like, I lived in Japan for like 10 years, and in Japan they have like intertwined teeth and all that stuff, and they're new speakers, and nobody cares and nobody minds. But here in the Western world, they have to be in line. So, I mean, braces, they're like, for me, this is like middle-aged business.
Yes. Yes.
So, what is your take on that? I mean, when they're just grown originally, just leave it as they are, or is it better to leave it? Is it better to have braces?
Yeah, that's a good question. I have written a full chapter in my book, and I even have an article on our website just in case people want to do a deep mm-hmm. dive. But first of all, we got to eat right during pregnancy mm-hmm. and especially in those first 3 years. I mean, hopefully you eat well all the time, because that's when the teeth are forming in pregnancy and then the adult teeth, right? So you want to give your child that chance. And it's so, so much to do with food and nutrients and nutrient absorption. And then mouth breathing, you want to eliminate that, because mouth breathing will make the teeth grow in a different way that you don't want. And now what we know is that braces are not the solution. So I wrote about that. And there's also, you could look up, there's a 60 Minutes, Australia 60 Minutes, where an orthodontist shows like two twins, one that had braces and one that didn't. This was very good. But the face literally starts growing vertically instead of like horizontally. So it literally changes the shape of the bone structure, which you don't want. And often there's the removing of teeth to make things fit. And again, you don't know, you may need those teeth. They may not have the right opinion. And also the metal, the nickel is so, so toxic. So there's all of those things. Now, what you may want to look at is myofascial, mm-hmm. working with a therapist for that, and orthotropics, which is another way of bringing balance to the mouth. Because there's like our, you know, our vanity of wanting straight teeth. But sometimes, you know, having enough spacing at the top of the roof and all that is actually just going to create better breathing, better sinuses, you know, better life. So there's some good reasons to kind of restructure things, but you don't just want to slap braces on that.
Have you experienced, like with your clients, that people could actually, through eating or through nutrition or whatsoever, change the way how the teeth were aligned?
I think it does, because there's also having healthy gums, which are keeping your teeth in place. Mm-hmm. So nutrients all the way through are going to help. And I think there's even been moments with our son's mouth. He's 12 now, where you're like, oh, is that one coming in a bit differently? But then it balances out, you know? So that's mm-hmm. been interesting to see as well. There's a really neat story in Dr. Weston Price's book. What's it called again? Anyway, it's his classic book, but such a neat story about a 16-year-old boy who was developmentally challenged, and he, you know, he couldn't like sort of walk down the street by himself and take the bus and buy a thing of milk, for example. So he put a spacer in the top, in the arch of his mouth, to kind of open up the palate. And he hadn't gone through puberty yet, this 16-year-old. So I forget what he said, but it said it changes also. It communicates differently than with the pineal gland. And anyway, after 6 months or during the 6 months, or anyway, it took 6 months, and the child went through puberty. So he developed, and he was able to like go to the store, get milk, bring home the change, and like his whole wow. life changed. Yeah.
This is incredible. By just changing something in your jaw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, what an incredible story. Yeah.
Yeah. What is the name of that book? Physical Nutrition and Degeneration or whatever. Yeah, it's the Weston Price book.
Have you experienced like cavities which were like filling themselves?
Yes, yeah. I've had one myself, that's when I first learned, because I was going to a holistic dentist. It was a long time ago, But you know what I mean? So they were, I mean, they're not that holistic now. But even then I was like, okay, well, it was a better option just than everybody else. But the hygienist was really good. And it was actually her that was like, you know, you've got a cavity starting, go home, work with your potions and things that you make and just see. Because I didn't even know that we could, again, I just thought you got a cavity, then you're just going down that path. And she said, we'll take an x-ray in 6 months. And it was totally gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, was it like a soft spot or was it
actually? Yeah, it was a soft brown spot coming in. Okay. You know, just it was the beginnings. And then I've seen it in my own son. Okay. So he's at a couple that, and I've seen it in like a lot of clients and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. There's hope.
Incredible. Yeah. So Nadine, do you have like, something where you say, oh, you really have to know this and this. This is just my top secret for perfect white pearly teeth.
Well, I think I've told you a lot of my sort of beauty teeth secrets, you know, and, you know, whiteness really comes from within. Yeah. And it's, again, about diet because the enamel's actually transparent. It's like glass. And it's the pulp chamber within. That's when it's fat, I think of it like sort of fat with nutrients and stuff, yeah. Then that will reflect, you know, white teeth. And, you know, working with things like baking soda, hydro peroxide once or twice a month is really going to help. But I think the main thing I love people to know is just that like your mouth is alive, your teeth are alive. There's a bustling microbiome in there and you kind of want to get out of the way and let the microbiome of your mouth, let those bacteria do their job and help bring balance and harmony instead of killing them all with, you know, Listerine mouthwash, triclosan, sodium lauryl sulfate, and then adding to your bacterial overload with things like root canals or jaw cavitations, you know? So you want to clear all that up and really let your mouth thrive and just knowing it's alive. So I just feel like that gives people hope and knowing that, you know, they can turn things around.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Nadine. It's
thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing your insights. And it's been wonderful talking to you.
You too. Thanks for having me on.